reflect, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, was salatu was salamu ala Sayyidi al-Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila Reflect to Succeed. And today on the Silsila Reflect to Succeed, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, and that is regarding pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully said that, زَيِّنُوا مَجَالِسَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are discussing pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, this is our greatest priority, is to please our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the companion, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explains how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once took his hand, held his hand, and said that, "Oh Abu Sa'id, there are three matters. Whoever says and accepts these shall enter paradise." So he asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these three matters?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man radiya billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi Muhammadin rasulan." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever is pleased with Allah as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger. And in one hadith, the following was then mentioned, wajabat lahu al-jannah. So this now collectively means that whoever is pleased with Allah as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger, such a person shall have paradise become wajib for them. Now Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَذَاقَ طَعَمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. That whoever is pleased with Allah as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger, has found the sweetness of faith. Islamic scholars, they describe how our hearts can taste intangible facets of spirituality, such as the positive spiritual effect fostered by acts of ibadah. The same way our tongues are able to taste things, when we place something on our tongue, we can discern whether it is sweet, sour, hot or cold. In the exact same way, whenever we offer salah, keep fasts, recite the Holy Quran, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite wada'if, call others towards goodness, recite na'at, in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn Islamic knowledge, or do any other good deed, our hearts are able to taste the positive and delightful effects of these actions. If someone was to get sick, and we notice it, when you get sick, you can't really taste, right? A person's ability to taste things is negatively affected instead. Everything begins to have no taste. Some things taste sour to them. And the same principle, it applies to the heart. When the heart becomes negligent or blackened from sin, what happens? And when spiritual diseases like arrogance, selfishness, love for money, and longing for name and fame run rampant inside it, this leads to the heart itself becoming sick, becoming unwell. When this happens, a person is deprived from the delight of salah. He finds no peace in fasting. Good deeds become difficult for him. And ultimately, the light and sweetness of iman, of faith, leaves his heart entirely. For someone undergoing this, it is necessary for them to cure their heart as soon as possible. Now, one method of curing the heart has been described to us by our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we have heard, that when a person is pleased with Allah as their Rabb, Islam as their religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their messenger, the darkness of that individual's sins is removed, his heart is purified, and he begins to taste the spiritual illumination of iman. Now, Sheikh Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah, he has said that whoever is not pleased with these three matters from the bottom of his heart is unable to taste the sweetness of iman. He has faith outwardly, but has not attained its true essence. Now, what does it mean to be pleased with Allah being our Rabb? What does it mean to accept this fact? Now, scholars, they comment on how there are three levels of acceptance in this regard. The first level, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, he elaborates, he says that being pleased with Allah as one's Rabb and accepting this reality means an individual will not accept anyone besides Allah as their Rabb. A person who wholeheartedly believes in the oneness of Allah will reject everything mushrikeen consider to be gods and believe Allah alone is worthy of worship. Such a person knows it is only Allah who grants him rizq, sustains him, allows him to breathe, and blesses him with life. He recognizes there will never be another Rabb besides Allah. Now, this level of acceptance is the core foundation of our iman. Without this, a person cannot become a Muslim. We go on to the second level. And the second level, clarifying the second level of being pleased and content with the fact Allah is our Rabb, Sheikh Ali Hajweri rahimahullah says that this contentment and state of being pleased refers to a person's heart remaining unchanged in condition regardless of whether he is granted something or not. Now this means a person's heart remains content, at ease, accepting and pleased regardless of whether Allah Ta'ala grants them something or makes them face, you know, testing circumstances. This is the second level of being pleased with the fact Allah is one's Rabb. Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahmatullah alayha, she was a waliyah, very pious lady. And in her presence, a person once made dua by saying, "Oh Allah, be pleased with me." This dua is fine, right? And it's often heard being made. Yet the friends of Allah, they have their own unique ways. Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahmatullah alayha heard this dua and said, "Do you not have shame? You ask Allah to be pleased with you, whereas you are not pleased with him." So a person seated nearby asked, "What does it mean for a person to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And she gave such a beautiful reply. She said that when you are pleased upon falling into difficulty, the way you are pleased upon receiving a blessing, only then shall it be said to you, you are pleased with Allah. For example, if a person came to us and said, "You've just won £1 million. Imagine how happy we would be. We would be jumping out of happiness. Our hearts would be overjoyed. And we wouldn't be able to stop smiling. Perhaps we'd feel like, you know, we'd be in dreamland or something. On the other hand, let's say someone comes and says that your shop has burned down. All your products have been destroyed. Imagine the sadness a person would feel. We'd be completely, you know, feeling all down. Signs of anxiety would be visible on our faces. Perhaps we'd begin shouting that I have been destroyed, I've been ruined. The meaning of Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya's statement is that just as a person is happy upon receiving wealth, he should be similarly happy when he loses it. When a person reaches this state, it can be said that they are pleased with the fact Allah is their Rabb. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So these of Madani channel. This is not an unusual matter. You know, since our childhood, we have been reciting وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad destiny is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we receive blessings, we receive wealth, we receive well-being, this is from Allah. If we are afflicted by a trial, poverty, illness, this is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in summary, all fate, whether good or bad, is decreed only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when a person affirms he is pleased with Allah as his Rabb, he should be pleased with every decision his Rabb makes. If he is happy upon receiving a blessing, he should be happy upon the arrival of an affliction. Whatever happens, we should not be complaining. We shouldn't let a complaint come from our heart, come from our tongue. You know, there is no issue in making dua for good and well-being in both worlds. Like, we should make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. That, oh Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in the world and in the hereafter. You know, to give you an example, Sayyidina Fudail bin Iyad, rahmatullah alayhi, was a wali of Allah. People never saw him smiling, as you know, he was immersed in fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplating about the grave and thinking over the hereafter, matters of accountability, the bridge of Sirat, the punishments of hell. He had a pious son named Ali bin Fudayl, rahmatullah Ali. And this son, he was also extremely devoted to serving his parents. Narrations detail how he was unable to complete the recital of Surah Zilzal, as the surah, it describes the terrors of the day of Qiyamah. You should read the surah, look up the meaning of it from Kanzul Iman. So whenever he would recite or listen to it, his intense fear of Allah would lead to him losing consciousness. I mean, he was still young when he passed away. Every parent can understand how painful the death of a young child is. Yet, look at the conduct of the father. Sayyidina Fudail bin Iyad, rahimahullah. He did not cry. He did not show any sign of sadness. Instead, he actually smiled. People, they were confused, surprised by this. They asked that, we never saw you smiling. Yet today you smile on the day your child passes away. What is this? Why is this? Sayyidina Fudail bin Iyad, rahimahullah, he replied so beautifully. He said that this happened by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am pleased with whatever Allah ta'ala has decreed. Allahu Akbar. This, the use of Madani channel, is what it means to be pleased with Allah as your Rabb and accept this reality. You know, it's like saying, Allah is my Rabb. Whatever He decrees concerning me, I happily accept it from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, our state is totally opposite to this. If a single glass of cup accidentally breaks, we become angry in the blink of an eye. If our car tire is punctured, we cannot enjoy it. If there is a slight increase or decrease in temperature, we become restless. If we are afflicted by a minor fever, if our business earnings are low for one day, or our salary payment is delayed, satanic whisperings enter our heart and complaints, they flow from our tongues. I mean, look at these amazing personalities who even smile when their pious and devoted son passes away. Why? Simply due to the fact that they were pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. So this is how we should be also, divis of Madani channel. You receive a blessing, be content with it. You lose a blessing, still be content with it. We need to be content in every state, in good times and in bad times, because this is ultimately the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to show contentment for that. That is why it's so important whether you are rich, whether you are poor, in whatever state you may be, always say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. This is you being content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no matter what your state is, you are still saying all praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you show shukr, the more you show thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah ta'ala will give you more, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant barakah and blessings in your sustenance. So now, viewers of Madani channel, we now move to the third and highest level of being pleased with what Allah ta'ala decrees. Every Muslim must be upon this level at least. You know, Sayyidina Abu Ali Daqqaq rahimahullah, he explains that being pleased and content with divine will does not mean one feels no difficulty at all. This means an individual should not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are hurt in any way, if a calamity comes, if we break a bone, someone close to us, beloved to us passes away, we suffer financial loss or become ill, there's no issue being sad or crying when these things happen. There is no problem with feeling the effects of them. What a person should do, however, is not pay attention to any satanic whispers that come during these events, nor complain in any way. They should totally be content with what Allah Ta'ala ordained to happen. You know, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, he explains so beautifully. He says, Al-i'tiradu 'ala al-haqqi mawt ad-din wa mawt at-tawhid wa mawt at-tawakkul. That objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the death of religion, tawheed, and tawakkul. Any views of Madani channel, objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definite kufr, disbelief. The objector is a disbeliever and apostate. In Sharia, which every Muslim must follow, orders us to avoid objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creator of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how insulting it is for his creation to then turn and object to him. Ma'adallah. If permission were given for objection, everyone would say anything they want. For example, they may say, why did Allah do this and not that? He should have done it in this way, along with other similar erroneous statements. Using rationale, we find objecting as inherently incorrect, as objections are leveled at one in whom there is a fault or error, or who makes incorrect decisions. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free from all defects and mistakes. It is another matter that a person of deficient intellect does not, you know, understand the wisdoms of some affairs. In any case, a Muslim should have certainty, yaqeen, that everything Allah does has infinite wisdom. Whether a person can fathom that wisdom or not, I mean, let alone bring in an objection on his tongue, a person should not even allow it a place in their heart. And why is this contentment necessary? We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not have any right to object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Rabb. He is our creator. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us, gave us life, granted us rizq, spread out the earth for us, placed the sky over our heads as a canopy, granted us endless bounties. He is our creator and owner. We are his slaves. It is rightful upon us to accept every decree and be pleased with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Imam Qushayri rahimahullah, he writes, ubudiyyah, servitude, is to abandon whatever is in one's capacity and submit before whatever becomes apparent from divine decree. And the Saint Ruwaym rahimahullah says that if all of hell was placed on a person's right hand, he should not even say, oh Allah, place it on my left hand. Allahu Akbar. You know, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, whoever is not pleased with my decree and is not patient upon my trials, let him seek a Rabb other than me. Allahu Akbar. Al-Aman wal-Hafiz. Dear viewers of Madani channel, these words, it should really shake us to our core. Whoever is not pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being rebuked in this. they are being told that they are not worthy of being the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a true slave, remains pleased and content with the decision of his Rabb. Now, what does it mean to be a slave? In earlier times, slaves were sold in marketplaces. Once, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah, he needed one. So he went to the marketplace, he bought his slave and brought him home. He asked the slave his name, to which he responded, "Whatever you wish to call me, that will be my name." The saint then asked Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah, he asked that what he was used to eating. He said, "I shall eat whatever you give me." When the slave was asked if he wanted anything, he said that I desire only what you desire. I am a slave, and a slave does not have any connection with such matters. When Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah heard this, he began to think, if only I would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same dutiful manner. Allahu Akbar. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is what true servitude is. A true slave is he who has no desires or wishes of his own. He only follows the will of his master. We should remain content with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our master, our creator, and never complain in any circumstances. Come what may, be it poverty, be it worries, or any kind of difficulty, we will not complain. You know, Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah, he says that servitude necessitates a slave remaining pleased in every state with what Allah Ta'ala has decreed. He should never let his heart fall prey to ill thoughts. He should not desire more than that which Allah has granted, as Allah knows what is best to an infinitely greater degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعَلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعَلَمُونَ. And it is likely that you dislike a thing which is actually better for you, and it is likely that you like a thing which is actually bad for you, and Allah knows and you know not. Now Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah, he further explains, he says that we learn an important point. Whatever Allah has granted and whatever state he has placed a person in, if an individual was to seek something other or more than this, it is as though he claims to know more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This suffices in proving someone as ignorant. Allahu Akbar. Now let's think this over. If we do not remain pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which he has bestowed us with and the state he has kept us in, then look at the far-reaching implications. It is as though a person is claiming he has more knowledge than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas this is impossible. His knowledge is complete and perfect. No one has more knowledge than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With his eternal knowledge, he has granted us whatever is best in our right. We should be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what state we are in. You know, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimahullah once said to his son, whatever situation you face, whether you like or dislike it, keep it in mind, it is better in your right. The son replied, "Oh father, please explain this further to me. How can everything that happens be best for me?" Sayyidina Luqman Hakim rahimahullah responded that there is a prophet of Allah in a settlement. Let us go and present ourselves to him, and he shall explain this much better than I can. So both father and son, they took hold of their bags, they climbed upon the animals, and they set out in search of sacred knowledge. This journey, it was long and the heat intense. Along the way, they also ran out of food and water, and they eventually became exhausted. As the animals also tired, they dismounted and began walking on foot. Luqman Hakim rahimahullah then saw smoke rising in the distance. Their spirits were lifted when they saw this, yet a difficulty then appeared. What happened? A sharp bone was laying on the floor, which pierced the foot of the son and come out from the other side. He began to bleed, and due to the long journey, severe heat, lack of food and water, he fell to the ground unconscious. Seeing his son in the state, tears welled up in the eyes of Luqman Hakim rahimullah. With effort, he extracted the bone, bandaged the foot, and his son regained consciousness and asked that, "Oh my father, the heat is intense, our water has finished, I have been injured, neither can we travel further nor return home. Tell me, how can all of this be what is best for me?" Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Luqman Hakim, he was a wise person. He said that this difficulty that arose, it is possible a greater calamity has been averted from us because of this. As they went back and forth, Luqman Hakim rahimahullah saw a person approaching from afar. But the figure disappeared quickly from his sight. He then heard a voice ask, "Anta Luqman? Are you Luqman?" He replied, "Yes, I am Luqman." The voice further asked, "Luqman Hakim?" He responded, "People call me that." When the voice inquired, "What did your son say?" Luqman Hakim rahimullah asked, "Who are you? Why do you not show yourself?" The voice explained that, "I am Jibreel, and I am only visible to prophets and angels. If you are Jibreel, surely you know of our state." Then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam began to say that Allah Ta'ala sent me to descend punishment upon a certain place. When I arrived, I realized that you two also headed to the very same location. And I then asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop you both from going any further. My dua was answered and your son was made to face difficulty. If this had not happened, you would have entered that place and also become caught up in the punishment of its dwellers. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this we learn whatever happens, whatever state Allah Ta'ala keeps us in, that is better for us. Consequently, we should be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should neither darken our hearts nor complain with our tongues. You know, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam went to Fir'aun seeking to call him towards goodness. Fir'aun said, "Faman rabbukuma ya Musa?" Fir'aun said, "So who is the Rabb of you both, O Musa?" Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam replied, he said, meaning Musa alayhi salam, "Our Rabb is he who gave a befitting form to everything, then showed the right path." Now, commentators of the Holy Quran, they give us some insight into this ayah. According to the explanation, this verse discusses how Allah is he who created and granted specific abilities to everything. He also granted means and unique form to each thing, depending on what it shall do. For example, Allah Ta'ala created the eye to see and placed the faculty of vision within it. He created the ear for hearing and placed inside it the faculty of hearing. He gave both of them forms suited to their purpose. Everything has its special purpose and function. Ears for hearing cannot see and eyes for seeing cannot hear, obviously. In this way, everything in creation has been created for its respective purpose. Everything has also been granted form best suited for its capability and were guided towards the means by which to use them. Imam Sha'arani rahimahullah explains this verse. He says, "This verse shows that whatever Allah has bestowed according to His supreme wisdom is perfection for whoever it was granted to. He granted prophethood to the prophets. Prophethood is perfection for them. He granted sainthood to saints. Sainthood is perfection for them. He granted knowledge to scholars. Knowledge is perfection for them. Whoever was given anything, that specific thing is perfect for them." Think of it in this way. Whatever a person has received from the God of Allah Ta'ala, they have received 100%. No one has been deprived. Everyone's full proportion is in accordance with their strength, capacity, and ability. For example, if a student is given 100% marks, which class will he enter? He will move through reception. Similarly, if a bachelor student is given 100%, what education level will he enter? He can begin a master's. Both attain 100%. Both were given 100%. But one enters a reception, the other enrolls on a master's. It is because although both attained 100%, their capabilities are different. If the bachelor graduate entered reception and the child who passed through nursery started a master's, they would both find themselves in a state of academic imbalance. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted everyone perfection in this world. The rich person has received 100% and the poor person also received 100%. However, the strengths and capabilities of each are different. A poor person was given 150% and made wealthy, or the rich person was given 50% and made poor, they would both lose their equilibrium and become imbalanced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted every 100%, and whatever He granted is perfection in that person's right. You know, in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that amongst my slaves are those whom poverty is better for. Their state would fall into disrepair if I were to make them rich. And amongst my slaves are those whom wealth is better for. Their state would fall into disrepair if I were to make them poor. So yes, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we have to be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that glad tidings for he who was guided to Islam and given sufficient risk, he is pleased with. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, one thing that we learn from this as we reach the conclusion is please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, from amongst all the rewards Allah ta'ala will bless His servants with on the day of Qiyamah, the greatest of them shall be His rida. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with them. He says in the Holy Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And the greatest bounty is the pleasure of Allah. The greatest bounty of paradise is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being eternally pleased with its inhabitants. He shall never be displeased with them. A hadith says that Allah ta'ala will reveal a divine tajalli for the people of Iman and say, ask from me. Upon this, the people of paradise will say, O Allah, we desire you to be pleased. Now reflect, when the people of paradise have arrived in Jannah itself, they shall still ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them. So this highlights how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with someone is the greatest gift and reward of the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So here's the views of Madinah Nation. We should strive to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should abstain from sins and perform good deeds so that you and I, we attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our greatest priority, pleasing our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed. Pause, reflect, let wisdom lead. This is the way to truly succeed.
Reflect to succeed.